Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Caught a little bit of it. That's, yeah, might as well.
Yeah, man.
Man, thank you so much for taking the time and having me over, man.
Man, thanks for coming down. I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, so, man, I want to pick your brain on like a couple of different things. I want to start with you. Where are you originally from, and what was that like growing up?
I'm from the suburbs of Birmingham, Alabama, outside of Birmingham, in like the Shelby County kind of area,
sort of
down Highway 280, and it was good, in some ways, and sort of like culturally, you know, sort of whitewashed in others, I guess.
Sure. What was you up to as a kid?
As a kid, I mean, man, I started playing guitar when I was like 9, and that really like basically drove my childhood.
Yeah, why'd you play? Why'd you want to play?
Man, I had an uncle that played, and I just got a bug on me. Of course I did.
We have officially gone punk rock.
Hey. There it is. Why did I play? I just always loved music as a kid. And my
Do you have a lot of records in the home growing up?
No. We didn't, actually.
So how'd you get it, like, interested in music?
I caught the right song at the right time, I think.
Yeah.
I just, like, you know, my mom says that I would kind of like half dance to music as a baby that was on. And my parents, you know, they're not like huge music listeners. I think, man, the way that I can remember it going down is I heard the song "Saturday Night's Alright for Fighting" by Elton John.
Yeah.
And just went ballistic at that, like, guitar intro. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So that's like the cornerstone of...
That's as far back as I can remember something going off inside me that says, I'm going to do that for people someday.
Man, I've talked to a lot of musicians, and, like, that is the first time anyone's referred to Elton John or that song.
And it's weird because he's, you know, and I didn't even know at the time that he was a piano player. I was just like, he's just the person whose name is on the CD that my mom has in her car.
Yeah.
Listen to sometimes. And, yeah, that's the earliest I can remember. Not long after that, I kind of called on that some of my uncles knew how to play. And,
did they used to play around town?
Not around Birmingham. I did have an uncle that was pretty active in the Decatur scene for a while. And... I found a guitar in my grandmother's closet on the other side of the family where there was pretty much like no music at all. And I found a guitar in the closet in her house one weekend.
Man, what kind was it?
Dude, it was a piece of shit. I mean, like, you couldn't hardly fret the thing. I think they had got it for like $5 at a garage.
The action was just horrible.
I mean, it was a child's guitar.
Yeah.
that had been not taken care of.
So you cut your teeth on it, though, didn't you?
Yeah, what do you expect? That's what it's for. It's supposed to be for somebody who just to kind of pick up and play that isn't going to take care of it and doesn't know what they're doing. And I, as far as I can remember, I would have been around 9 years old at the time, and I did not take my hands off the thing. I mean, until I got a better one a year or two later. And that's... I mean, as far as I can remember, that's just from there. It just sort of became this thing of, like, you know, what's an effects pedal? Or, like, what does an amplifier do?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that just, like, it just kind of, you know, in these past couple of years, I haven't played a whole ton. It was pretty... That's what I was up to as a kid. I was trying to remember the question. That's what my childhood...
You know, I don't want to get too far ahead, but, like, I've been spending a lot of time, like, with Tim's record and going back and listening to some of the prescriptions and just getting familiar with, like, just trying to track you and, like, kind of pick up on influence, like... Just as far as, like, where you are right now, like, is it still Billy, you know, is it still Elton John, or, where did it go from, you know, from there to now?
From there to now?
Yeah, and we can take it apart a little bit at a time.
Man, I'll be honest, like, the first time I ever, like, what I remember my first, like, rabbit hole into real music being was coming, somebody turned me on to Weird Al Yankovic when I was like 10, and I was like, this guy makes like I was obsessed with it at the time. I was like, this is incredible. It's
a parody.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, these are like, he's making fun of other songs. And then that's how it opened up. I mean, from there, it's just like, meet people at school that are like telling you, like, oh, you like this, you like this.
Yeah.
And what have you. That's how it, you know, I mean, my influence, I listen to music. Again, it just kind of like comes and goes.
Yeah.
My life, but.
Yeah, I was just like, with the song you opened up with, I was like, man, there's quite a bit going on. Good chord structures. I mean, like, yeah, like, that's why I like doing this show, man, because, like, we got an acoustic guitar, and it's like a on-the-porch cut, and, like, playing acoustic guitar, to me, it's a lot more difficult to impress, you know, when I have an electric and some effects, I can manipulate a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it's easy to be really boring on the acoustic if you're not careful.
Sure.
Yeah, man, those were some cool chords, man.
Thank you. I think it's really helpful that if you're going to, like, you know, if you're not going to write and record the songs on an acoustic guitar, to at least, like, kind of, like, know how to make them suited to an acoustic, because it is a different, mm-hmm. it is a different thing. And if I, you know, if I play the parts exactly like I did on the EP, it doesn't translate as well.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I've got, you know, like some a band behind me or something like that.
Yeah. It's like there's always two versions, it seems like, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. So, man, like just coming up in high school, just kind of going back to growing up, how long would it be before you and the boys got together and made some noise in the garage, or what did that look like?
My first, the first time I remember playing in like a rock band, I would have been about 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was like Christmas presents, band practice, as far as equipment goes, if that makes any sense, you know?
Yeah.
It's like there's a, you know, a playable drum set in the corner and a you know, kind of one of those like Fender amps that maybe lights them up a little too much in the other one. And that's like, you know, I don't remember playing with people whose parents.
We may want to wait on that. Me and Tim had like the same thing. Like while we were recording, doing his episode, there was this guy. He came by, I think, like twice, in this like extremely loud truck. It was like, hang on, you know, we got to wait for this guy.
Yeah.
Must be a wreck.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Not a highway around here, so.
All right, so I mean, playable instruments in the room.
I remember the first band that I was in. I don't think anybody had like a lot of music. Kind of like I don't. That's how I remember it.
Yeah. Who was y'all covering, or were y'all trying to write originals?
Dude, I remember covering like.
Yeah.
311, Incubus, the kind of just like
yeah.
suburban rock gamut, and having a great time. I mean, really, really good introduction to music, honestly.
Yeah, I can see that in that song, man. Some of those structures, it kind of reminds me of like 311, Incubus. So yeah, I can see that, man. It's like, yeah.
I've heard that. I think somebody's kind of said that before. So.
Yeah. So, like, just moving on, and, like, as you were getting out of high school, what was life looking like? What was your plans? What was you wanting to do?
Man, I've always wanted to find my way to the stage, but I never really had a concrete plan as to how.
Yeah.
And I went to school at UA and studied, you know, kind of music-related things in the new college department up there. And just my whole thing was to just like always kind of be involved with something musical.
Yeah.
You know, at some point in time or another. And so, I mean, I didn't really have a concrete plan per se, but I kind of came out of college and hit the ground running as far as like, you know, I was in a band that played the kind of circuit around the Southeast for a minute.
Yeah.
Bad Brad and the Sipsy Slims out of Muscle Shoals. And I...
How'd you get connected?
Man, I played with him with Chad Fisher's band when I was like just out of high school.
Oh, that's a good plug, man.
Yes, it was, man. So I should mention that he was my middle school band director, which is how I first met him.
Wow.
We still hang out, which is insane.
Yeah, I recently met him, man. He's been on the show, man. It's cool. Yeah, cool guy.
Yeah, he's a great hang and a great player for sure. But he kind of like plugged me into the music world real quick out of high school. I mean, fresh out of the gate, getting to play with some really, really, really incredible players. So was you
wind instrument or percussion, or do you play guitar and?
Guitar. I played guitar in the jazz band.
Okay.
He was the instructor. I played clarinet.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. That good plug, man. I think about that a lot, is like the folks that Chad's really influenced. Man, those people are important to have around, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he knows everybody.
So, back up to Muscle Shoals. How'd you get connected with them?
So, Brad played with Chad.
Yeah.
And that's how we met. And then I think my name just kind of came up. They might have had somebody. They might have had somebody quit or part ways or something. And that's how I just got down one day, and it clicked. I did that for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed pretty busy at the time. I don't really know. I hadn't spoken to him in a while. I don't really know what he's up to now.
Yeah. So, man, like, when you was coming out of college, you said you hit the ground running. Like, just what was the biggest lesson you learned there? I know a lot of times it's really not even in the classroom. Waiting on my man there. That's awfully loud.
My main thing is to just, like, stay in as many, like, real-world projects as you can manage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no need to, like, burn yourself out. But my whole thing is just, like, I want to be involved with something.
You know, I didn't learn it till like halfway through college that like the most important thing about it is, yeah, I mean, you're getting a degree, a piece of paper, however you want to look at it, but I didn't catch it till about halfway through, and it was wasted time. Was like, it's about connections. Like, you're studying the same thing with like-minded folks. You should connect, and like, maybe you can help one another in the future, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like, getting involved and like just being in a project, yeah, definitely, man. I think a lot of people miss it. Like, get so busy working on the homework and worried about the class that you forget everything else that you're supposed to be learning during that time, you know?
Absolutely.
What about, further involvement in Muscle Shoals? Like, how did the prescriptions come about and all that?
We started playing when I moved to Nashville kind of on a whim when I was 23 years old. And I knew...
Is that how you and Tim met?
No, we met in Tuscaloosa. We lived in the same lived on the same block.
Oh.
Just through, I moved into a spot over in the neighborhood where we all kind of lived on like the recommendation of a friend, and he was the guy that was kind of taking care of the property and
yeah.
And whatnot. That's how I met Tim.
Yeah.
I met the prescriptions when I knew Parker McAnally, a bass player from like a jazz class around Birmingham when I was in high school, like driver's license age probably. And he had already been living up there for a little bit, and I just immediately kind of linked up with him and started playing. We did some sessions with Hayes and just turned it into a band.
Nice. Yeah.
And it was just like, what if we just made this a band, you know, because it was just going to be his songs and back and forth, you know, and us back and forth an EP, and it was like, we should probably, you know, this feels pretty good.
Yeah.
So we did that. They they still play. They're still active. And I was in it. I was in the band for about 2 years. I kind of felt called, pulled, pushed, what have you, to do my own endeavors and really focus on that kind of exclusively.
You know, I like that. I like it when it happens like that for some people. Is like your music career, like whatever capacity. And I believe like it doesn't really matter. Like being famous and whatever, you just like you literally define what making it means to you.
Oh,
it's like, I mean, not everybody's gonna be like Arena Rock, Foo Fighters, but I like it when, you know, the guitar players in these bands that were just originally just backing. Well, they've been working on their own chops. And now they want to set out and do their own thing. I always like that.
For sure.
Especially when it works.
Yeah.
And, like, man, what do you think? Like, with, I don't know, as the world is changing, and just, like, with music and the music scene, what are your thoughts on, like, how it comes back? What's it going to look like?
There's never any way to tell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything ever gets, like, accurately
yeah.
predicted in this kind of, you know,
yeah, like I like to think maybe it could be house shows, you know, and just create circuits, you know.
It could be. I mean, especially with the pandemic going on and everything kind of moving to or at least it's like all of a sudden everything's put to the test in the sense of just like, can you do this like remotely?
Yeah.
You know, I've been kind of telling people that maybe, I mean, who knows? Maybe small towns are like kind of the next thing.
I would love that.
And they kind of already are, but it's like, I mean, bigger cities, in my opinion, are just going to get to be a little too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I like that idea, man. It's like the Sunstroke House, Jamie.
Yeah.
She came down a couple weekends ago when we originally met.
Okay.
She runs the Sunstroke House, and it is just like this little gym in Columbus, and there's not a lot of rile about it, you know? Like, every show's going to fill up, all the tickets are going to sell, but it's typically the same folk. You like, I would imagine, like, if you could get the community connected and get them to care, like, you would never have an issue getting rid of seats, and there would always be, like, a fresh flock of folk, you know? But it's a wild thing to me. It's a very private affair, even though it's very public, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy how those bubbles happen like that.
Sure.
So I don't know, like, with the small towns, I'm thinking about this thing that y'all kind of have going on here in Greensboro is, like, y'all are in a really good position to create culture.
Yeah, it's just, and that's just sort of the thing, it's like, property's cheap.
Yeah.
People are nice. You know, you just kind of, it's easy in places. I remember when I was first, had moved back to Birmingham after living in Tuscaloosa. It was kind of, you know, and it was, I remember kind of being like that growing up. There was sort of a sweet spot there where it was like, man, you could afford anything. People were cool and willing to kind of like take risks and get involved. And it is, yeah, I haven't sort of been involved. I haven't really been back to Birmingham lately, so there's probably elements of that still there. But,
yeah.
I just like that kind of thing. It's like versus living in a big city where you're just kind of like, man, I'm just sort of like trying to pay rent and
That's, man, I work in Starkville, but I live in Kennedy. And it's that same thing, you know, coworkers will ask, be like, man, why don't you just move over here? And I was like, I don't want to worry about rent. Like, Kennedy is that stuff's paid for. Like, all I do is like pay the power bill, you know, or you know, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't need an extra bill right now, you know.
Yeah.
It's like living is cheap if you can do it in a small town, you know.
Absolutely.
There ain't no sense. I don't mind the drive, you know. Get to listen to music, podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe sit in silence if you need to, you know. But.
Sure.
I don't mind the drive.
Yeah. I don't mind being on the road myself. I kind of like to just like move around and see the earth going past the windows, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's like doing the show, man. Even like the drive down here, it's a good drive. It's a pretty day.
Oh yeah. I'll take the bicycle out to. You know, I won't go far, but I'll go sort of like ride along these out to kind of rural areas.
Yeah. Where were we? Oh yeah, just talking about small towns. Like Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Muscle Shoals area, Nashville, Montana for a spell.
Yeah.
It's like, man, what are some of the big differences, and like what was it like being back in Alabama after being in Montana? Because it's so different, right?
Well, it is pretty different. Also, when it starts to get cold up there, it's either I just was kind of like, you know, I was welcoming Alabama, honestly, as a next move.
Yeah. I ain't never been up there in the winter. I haven't been to Montana, but like, man, it's a weird thing. Like, you know, Northerners will make fun of us for like freaking out about snow.
Yeah.
Or ice. It's like, dude, we do it all the time. It's like, yeah, you're also prepared for it though. We're not built for this.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of what I was gonna say earlier. It's like, I mean, people adapt to it all the time. Like, in my mind, it's sort of like, you either cut out to live like this or not.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, 3 or 4 inches of ice on the road, no thank you. Not my way of life.
Yeah.
I'll take tornadoes you know, strict laws over that.
Definitely, man. Yeah, speaking of tornadoes, man, that one that went through Birmingham the other day.
Dude,
Fultondale area.
I've heard about it. I've seen a couple of things on Facebook. I don't know that I know anybody over there, but I hate to hear about it. Something like that happened.
Dude, it was my cousin's house. Him and his wife, they got under the stairwell, man.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude.
Are they okay?
Yeah, they're fine, man. The house got trashed, so it ripped the chimney off the house.
Wow.
It was like looking at the pictures, and I had just been over there like a couple of months ago.
Man.
And I was like, man, that is just awful, you know? But
yeah.
I'm with you. I mean, I would still, and I lived down in Mobile for a time.
Really?
I would take a hurricane over, you know, cold weather. Almost to that point, man.
Yeah, I guess it's like you get those spells of like, you know, disaster like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just like which threat did you grow up with?
Yeah.
Or you get used to.
Yeah.
Because I've heard from people where it's like a tornado is the scariest thing ever happened to anybody.
I used to go to Guatemala like every summer, and like, you know, Lake Fuego, it's an active volcano.
Yeah.
And I wasn't on this trip, but there was a group. I don't remember if they were leaving the airport or landing when the volcano went off. I was like, that had to be crazy.
Yeah.
Like, my buddy, he was on the plane and he videoed it and like sent it to me, and I was like, this is nuts. And it was like, it was a more minor, it's never a good thing when they erupt, but it was fairly minor. I don't think there was any, you know, injuries or death. But I was there one time when it, like, you know, it'll ash, and like, just a whole lot of ash will come out. I don't know a whole lot about volcanoes, maybe, but, man, it was wild. It was like being out in the streets and there's just ash everywhere, you know? I guess it would be like maybe the equivalent of like those forest fires that happened earlier, or, you know, in 2020, 2019 with California and all that. When, you know, I saw some of the pictures on like social media of like what the sky looked like, and it was like just red, you know? It was just the wildest looking thing.
Damn.
It looked like you opened a portal to hell or something, you know?
Yeah. That sounds, I guess just talking about things that I'm not used to, like the threat of a volcano going off the scariest things that happen in your just like ordinary.
And I've been to Santiago, Chile, and like they have earthquakes all the time down there. And I'll be if like I think it was our second morning and there was an earthquake. And I was like, I'd never been in an earthquake. You know, I've like, you pick your poison, man. And just their construction, like, they have, like, tunnels and, like, you know, a few skyscrapers there in Santiago. And, like, we got to thinking and talking about, like, the engineering that has to go into this. It's, like, think about, like, a skyscraper. Like, you know, you have to, with the wind, it has to be able to flex a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, that's really smart. We've accomplished some pretty cool things, you know.
Yeah.
And then, like, but when they design buildings, they have to design it for not only the wind, but earthquakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, man, that's pretty wild. We got a little bit off the deep end. Where were we?
Oh, man. I'm
just along for the ride, right?
Just rolling with it. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
So, I mean, how long were you up in Montana? What was you working on up there?
Man, I was hanging out. I was just getting off of a probation for a public intoxication charge that took a little too long, and my friend Jesse Phillips, who plays in the St. Paul and Broken Bones.
Mm-hmm.
Invited me to come stay with him, and I was just like, that sounds like a great opportunity. And so I did, but I stayed out there. It was just kind of an indefinite amount of time. It was after the pandemic had hit, so I was kind of just like looking for a place to wait it out.
Yeah.
And
I got a buddy that went to Alaska.
Oh, cool. For the pandemic?
No, well, just to kind of he left. I wouldn't say for the pandemic, but I would say it would be some kind of a, maybe a spiritual pilgrimage in a sense.
Okay.
It's like, I think he left around November.
I see.
And, I ain't really said a whole lot to him about it. I was like, that's curious to me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I don't really know what to call it, but maybe it is some kind of a pilgrimage. In that sense, to find a safe space to just get away from everything.
Pilgrimages, that's an applicable term, I'd say.
Yeah.
I was able to find some work up there.
What was you doing?
I was working for a hardwood flooring guy. That I just kind of found on Craigslist. Like, I picked up pretty quickly that there's just, you know, people need things done.
Yeah.
It's cool. And I did that. I did some, like, kind of Instacart stuff. And I was able to get some pandemic unemployment as well because my shows had been, you know, my shows had sort of been canceled, as everybody's pretty much were.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's just, you know, it's a nice place in the in the summertime. It's just like, what a great, not that 2020 was a particularly great year, but like, I would say, like, what a great, it's like you go up to Montana for the summer and come down to
Bama for the winter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man, just as far as like, Montana's kind of like really spread out, like population wise, right? It's not very crowded.
It is. It is. It's probably like the third, fourth least populated state.
Yeah.
The third, largest. So, a lot of space and not a lot of people. I mean, that's what I needed at the time. So I'm lucky that that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that? Was y'all in the kind of like a fairly small town up there, or what was it like?
Missoula is. It's a college town, like pretty populated college town. Probably about the size of Tuscaloosa, but maybe more compact, I guess.
Okay.
And there's some just neighboring small towns up and down sort of like mountain highways there.
Yeah, I know it's pandemic, so I mean it was a different. Had you ever been there before the pandemic?
I had been to Missoula one time.
Like, what's it like? What do they do for fun? They do a lot of shows, or what do they do up there?
My experience, again, with the COVID sort of...
Dampen that.
Driving the ship. Yeah, it was hiking, fishing, camping.
Oh, man, yeah.
I imagine it's pretty par for the course, whether there's a pandemic going on or not.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like there's an art and music scene there. I didn't really check it out when I was gigging around. I sort of took a break from that whole thing when the thing hit and I was able to.
What about like with the Tascam album you put out? Yeah. Did you do that up there?
No, I did that in Nashville.
How long ago was that?
I put that out. I think I recorded it for most of 2018 and put it out early 2019.
Yeah. Hey, what made you want to do it that way?
It's what I had available at the time. My money was limited, and I had bought the machine probably a year or two beforehand and not really monkeyed with it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, I kind of just, like, popped a high-quality tape in there one time. It's like, oh, this actually sounds pretty good. And I was like, this is the best that I was, I was kind of in a position. I had sort of, like, backed myself into a corner just in life. It was sort of in a position where I was like, I have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of holed up in this little, like, two-bedroom house that I shared with Raylan Baxter in Berry Hill, just south of Nashville, and basically just sort of, like, pulled this record out of myself over the course of, like, probably 6 months.
Yeah.
It was not a, like, block off time to work for it kind of thing at all. It was basically, it's just, like, whenever I can just, like, manage to play a take that lines up with the last one,
Mm-hmm.
Just hit the red button and make it happen. And then I, however long it takes to get something kind of like touched up and artwork done and CDs pressed and whatnot, I think I threw it on the internet in February of the next year, maybe March or April.
Yeah.
I can't totally remember.
Was that your first, like, solo album by yourself?
Yeah, I would say that it is. I have done, I had done some recording in the past, with just various people, Bronson 2 in Water Valley, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first complete, like, coherent set of, like, presented material that I had ever...
And that had to feel good.
Yeah, it did. It really did. It was a new frontier. It was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. And, at least for me, and I can imagine I'm not alone in this way of thinking, but, like, I just get so caught up in the minor details of, like, the recording process. Like, every little anxiety has to be, like, a wrench in the gears and whatnot. And to actually put something out and then take a step back and look at it after you've, like, made the statement and can't take it back and, like, hear it objectively for the first time, it felt really good to have something where it was like, okay, I'm actually, really, I'm happy with the way that this turned out. This was good.
I like that, man. My buddy Joshua Cosby, he tells me this all the time. I've been, with just this setup here, it's just like recording songs, right here at all Pro Tools, and just I'll shoot it up on YouTube. And like the first comment when he comes across it that he'll always make is, I know that took a lot, man.
Yeah.
I know it's hard.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's so easy to pick it apart. It's so easy to be so critical of yourself on that, man. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's brave, man. And I always try to encourage people with that. I got a Ken Rabbit. It's Ryan Munson. He's like writing these folky songs, and they're really fun and they're really good.
Yeah.
And man, I'm a huge supporter of that. Like every time he'll send me one, whether it's just like, the voice memo recorded off of an iPhone, and he'll shoot it over to me, and he's like, what are you thinking? I was like, thanks for sharing, man. Keep it up. Keep going,
Yeah.
Because I know it's tough, especially like with 2020, and we're in 2021, and like, what, every Wednesday of January was kind of wild. I mean, you had, with everything going on, with you had a new inauguration, you had the storming of the White House, you had, or the Capitol, you had the stock market thing. I mean, it's just been, like, nutty.
Yeah.
And so, man, I'm really concerned with a lot of people's, like, mental health, especially since, like, you know, with some states more locked down than others, and once again, that's going to be something that we don't understand is like people. You know, people want stimulus checks, and then some don't want stimulus checks. And then, you know, just take every look at 2020 as like, man, we have literally been locked in our homes, and some of us became deranged and were at each other's throat on social media all the time. And I was like, man, like, I hope everybody can come out of this and not need to go see like a psychiatrist or, you know, a clinical psychologist or, man, because you got to guard yourself like in times like these, man.
It's definitely, you know, if it weren't for moving out to Montana, it would probably taken a bigger toll on me than it even already has. So, yeah.
I mean, especially, I mean, like you said earlier, it's like, my shows got canceled. I was like, well, right there is like, man, I can't even do what I enjoy doing, what I'm here on this earth to do, you know?
Exactly. It's like the thing.
How do you deal with that?
The thing that makes me grow the most has all of a sudden just been. And I mean, there are ways to play. It's like, I'm fortunate that, you know, music is kind of more or less always there. Even if the industry kind of shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, you can hop on and do a live stream for a spell, or, I mean, I've liked some of the things that people have been doing as far as, we talked a little bit about before we got rolling, was like, you know, just get a GarageBand take, send it over to your buddy at his house, let him put some drums on it, send it over to your other buddy, let him throw the bass,
yeah.
You come back, rework the guitar, you send it around again, and boom, you got a song.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's lent itself to a lot of creativity for some. I think some people have suffered creatively. I don't know. I came out on top. I think I'm doing, like, just headspace. I think I'm doing all right. Like, I was really concerned, like, man, it's going to be tough to do this podcast now. Because, you know, you don't know how the other person is doing or what they've been around. And they don't know that about you either, you know. And so there's something to be said about that, you know? It's strange times, man.
It is, for sure.
But, man, just as far as, like, unity for the country, I believe that stock market thing was just a phenomenal thing to have happened, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely,
It felt like, it was, I don't want to compare it to 9/11, I mean, that's terror, but this is, like, terror of the best kind, you know, and it's something that it's terrific.
I read a comment that said it was an electronic financial insurrection, which I thought was a really kind of inspiring term, you know.
Right. I don't think that's a good way to look at it. I really like, you know, stick it to the man, you know. This is punk rock now.
Well, it's just like you got to do something, you know.
Yeah.
You can't just kind of like sit around waiting for rules to change.
Yeah. And, you know, both sides. When AOC and Ted Cruz agree, you know something's happened, you know.
Yeah.
And I love this. I hope they exposed a huge problem and the politicians are aware, the people who can make changes are aware, and I hope everybody does what's right, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Like right now, it's like Robinhood and some of those apps, they are not letting people even get in the game, like account still processing. I've got like several of my friends, you know, hey, I got the app and I got an account, but it won't let me deposit money, or, you know, it won't let me access the market. And I was like, yeah, they're trying to keep us out. Because people are jumping on this bandwagon, man.
Yeah.
For better or worse, and making it more volatile. And these are people who never were involved in stocks, don't really know anything about stocks.
Yeah.
And it can be very dangerous.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm here for it, and I'm here to watch it, you know.
Yeah.
It's been fun to follow.
Of course.
And it's not like it's unity, man. It's not a us versus them at the moment, you know. It's not a left or right thing. It's not a red blue thing. It's
a
1% versus the 99%.
Yeah, as far as like parties go,
And I'm curious to see what's going to come of this, because, like, I don't think they're done. I think they could do it again, you know?
No, well, I mean, it's just like something's kind of got to give at a certain point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's not... There's just not...
Yeah.
A whole lot else you can really do.
What do you think 2020 and, like, just walking out of it now, hopefully, you know, we're in 2021, and hopefully, you know, I don't know if we'll ever see normal again, but as we're walking into whatever it's gonna be, what do you think what did 2020 teach you?
Man, you really just kind of don't know what's around the corner, I guess. It's really the best thing that I could put it.
Yeah.
It's just like you would have told me, I'm not always the most plugged in person of all time, but I feel like the window of time between when I heard about the coronavirus and everything just kind of like shut down was pretty small.
Yeah.
I don't remember there being like any real like sort of like ominous time period. It was just kind of like boom. It's like governor's ordering a lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird.
Everybody's buying weird shit at the grocery store.
Yeah, toilet paper of all things.
Yeah.
Which was strange. I was like, you know, it's usually milk and bread, but you went with toilet paper.
Yeah.
who would have thought?
Yeah, whatever you gotta do, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing was wild. And I'm like you, I guess the lesson that I learned from 2020 was it got me engaged in, like, of just paying attention to what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just like, who was not affected?
Yeah.
Who was not affected?
Maybe the Amish?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Run in that community, so I don't really know, but it's like, who, you got to think about, like, who didn't have to, like, pretty seriously alter their
lifestyle.
Their shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In every part of it.
Some people, in fact, maybe even more than others, pretty drastically, on what I perceive to be not a whole lot of notice.
Yeah. Because, man, you were at, was it Seasick Records with the Blip Show the day before?
I was, and that was the day that everybody was kind of like bumping elbows and saying, not joking, but kind of like, you know, in a funny way, like, well, this is probably going to be the last thing I'm going to do for a while. And it was the last thing anybody did for a while. I remember, like, the next day or two, it was just kind of like, all right, stay home if you can swing it. And there's this thing called Zoom that you probably need to know about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it was an open mic. And me and a buddy of mine, we had just finished playing. And we walked outside. And I was like, what's crazy is this might be the last time that we do this for a while.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah.
This, and I remember at the first, man, it was kind of a joke, right? It was like people, like, and then conspiracy theories were just like left, right.
Oh, of course. It was just like, here's this thing that, like, you know, none of us have ever really seen before. Your mind's kind of run wild.
Yeah. It's the whole thing, man. It's crazy. Historical times, man, and especially, like, I guess our generation, like, coming up, you know, I would say from mid-80s to 90s is like, man, we've lived through some weird shit, you know? Like, think, like, I was in a sixth grade classroom on 9/11, and my teacher, her mom was supposed to have been on that plane. And I was like, the pandemonium, you know, that she was in. Now, thankfully, her mom wasn't on that plane, but, you know, and then, some of the, just more recent, we were going to raid Area 51, of all things, just all the weird stuff that we've...
Yeah, I mean, that, I never perceived that as, like, a thing that was actually going to happen, but maybe a lot of people did, I don't know.
That was funny, though. There was one guy who was going to Naruto run it or whatever, you know, and I was like, here we go. We're going to have a big joke about this.
That's crazy, man.
And now, like, the coronavirus or COVID-19 or whatever you want to call it, we're living through that. And we're seeing a Occupy Wall Street 2.0. You know, the 2008 thing was kind of nuts with the realtor stock or whatever that happened, where a lot of people lost their ass. And this is like the inverse of that. So that's kind of funny. It took, just over a decade. But the people who lost their ass in 2008, these are their kids who are giving it back to them, which is kind of strange. And it's kind of perfect. Just kind of going back to that for a second, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of, like, testimonies from people who have stock in, like, GameStop and all these stocks that are, you know, the hedge funded ones, and like all their testimonies are the same. Is like my dad lost his business, he lost his house, lost everything, down to counting pennies. And so this is for you, Dad. We about to win.
Wow.
So I was like, touche, once again, I'm for this, you know.
Yeah, man.
The universe is making it right somehow.
Enough people are kind of on something. It's just sort of the way it gets. That's kind of like what the country's, that's sort of what it's supposed to be about here, right?
That's
it's
it.
Like, if people want something, they make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of like the underlying mentality?
Yeah. Was it life, liberty, pursuit of happiness?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like,
I believe in those things.
The blob morphs.
Yeah.
Know? And it's just like, that's just the way that it goes.
Yeah. Well, man, I want to spend a little bit more time on your music. We've kind of been chasing rabbits and hopping back and forth, but and to give people a better idea is like, of your music career, the prescriptions and bands before that. You recently helped out on Tim's Blight album. What are the projects, or what did we miss on the timeline as we were going through?
Man, not really a ton.
Okay.
That I can think of. A lot of pickup gigs in there. A lot of one-offs. A lot of, like, you know, playing guitar with this guy for 3 or 4 days kind of thing. But as far as, like,
would it be like different scenes? Like Birmingham and then Muscle Shoals?
Short
or
tours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Short runs, band weekend runs, stay with, you know, whoever we knew in the town, basically. Maybe get the occasional cheap hotel room.
Yeah.
Airbnb.
So what's next?
What's next, man? I think that the universe is probably going to have to reveal that before I can make any concrete plans, but I would love to get back out traveling and playing. It's the thing that I do, you know.
What's one of the most memorable shows that you've ever played at or been to?
Played at or been to? Man, I have had a great time playing at Callahan's in Mobile anytime that I've ever played there.
Great plug, man. The owner there gets it.
Yeah, he definitely does. I need to hit him up. There's an hungry plan. And best shows that I've ever been to, is that
yeah,
the next
yes,
thing?
Yeah.
What are the best shows that I've ever been to? You know what? I think best live, like, energy I've ever felt is probably, from a band, is probably Sharon Jones and the Dow Kings in maybe, like, Clearwater, Florida, or some, like, random sort of place.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened to be at a festival, St. Paul and Breaking Bones. And, I remember that being like a really, really, really just like compelling performance. And I've heard that from other people. You know, I've always heard that that's one of those bands that you need to go see. But,
yeah. You know, I've seen them on a lot of like festival lineup tickets. You know, and they're usually like in the middle of the ticket. You know, not a headliner, but they're gonna be there and they're gonna rock it. You know.
Oh sure.
I haven't seen them yet though. I've heard that though.
Well, Sheen passed away, unfortunately. Oh. So I can't remember exactly when that was, but it's to see that energy period, but to be coming from a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole thing there, but was just amazing.
What's some of the craziest banner? This is the James Mullis question. Like, you were either playing the show or you were at the show. The craziest thing you've ever said or the craziest thing someone from a crowd said? What's the wildest thing you've ever heard?
You know, I don't know that I've ever heard anything, like, particularly...
Or maybe inspirational.
Bananas at a show of my own, you know, or playing from anybody, but I do remember, like... I can't for the life. There's no way I would be able to remember this person's name. But there was this dude that played at a bar up in Nashville that came down from like Detroit or Ann Arbor or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like probably the funniest like stage banter guy I've ever heard in my life. And he was a good songwriter too. I can't rattle off any like actual like recognizable names at this point as far as banter. I guess it's just been so long since I've been to a live show, it activated that part of my brain that
yeah,
probably missing like a couple of really key moments.
I got you. Yes, it's a hard off the cuff question sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Man, let's do plugs. How can people get involved with your music and your social media?
Man, you can hit me up on Instagram. It's just my name, jack.thomason. And then you could, you know, same thing on social media is about all I got at the moment. I think jackthomasonbooking@gmail.com is a... I have not checked that email address in a really long time, but... I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Set it up at some
point. Well, anywhere else you want to go or anything we didn't cover?
Not that I can think of, man. It's been a good talk.
Yeah, man. You want to walk us out with another song?
I certainly will. Thank you.
disappear.